If God is good and loving and wise and powerful, why does he not answer my prayer the way I want him to?
The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about some of the questions that come in my mail from you listeners. I've chosen to change my opening verses. You know that for a long time, for about 3 years, I opened every program with the words, "You are loved with an everlasting love." That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, I've decided that I'm going to use some different scriptures for a while, and some of you won't like this, and some of you may be greatly relieved. But this one is from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, and it is such a beautiful invitation. It's one that I hope will reach every listener. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." But there are conditions, aren't there? How do we receive that rest? We have to come, we have to put on his yoke, and we have to learn. Well, coming is the simplest thing in the world. Just tell the Lord, "Here I am, Lord, take me." Putting on the yoke is a matter of the will. Bending your neck and saying, "I will do whatever you say, Lord." And learning is an everyday exercise. Every single day, God has many things to teach us, but we have to be willing to listen, willing to learn. You remember what it was like in grade school, how little you paid attention when the teacher was talking about something you weren't interested in. Your mind was out the window, or you were reading a book in your lap. And we're like that with the Lord too, aren't we? He has wonderful things to teach us, and we're not listening so often. So the three conditions for receiving rest. Is there anybody listening to me that doesn't need rest? I think we all do. But we have to come, put on the yoke, and learn. And if people really did that, I don't think you'd ever have to write me any questions at all. They'd all be answered. But we do need help from each other, don't we? And I do my best to help those who write to me for help. And one of these questions, asked over and over again in many different ways, is the question of unfulfilled desire or unanswered prayer. If God is good and loving and wise and powerful, why does he not answer my prayer the way I want him to? Why does he not fulfill this great desire? Well, I'll read you my I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'll give you an idea of the kind of thing that I've said to a young woman who asks about the desire for marriage. I get many letters like that. Young women, many of them in their 30s, some in their 40s, who have longed for marriage ever since they can remember, and no man has come along. How well I understand the longing to be married, and especially the longing to be married to the man of God's choice for you. I know all about the terrible thirst that isn't quenched, the earnest prayers seemingly unheeded. I've been there. I know what a wilderness it can be, but it can also be a pathway to God himself. I believe that's what he means it to be. It's good and right that you, a normal woman, should want a husband. We are made with that kind of hunger. Yet we women are made to be responders, not initiators, And if the man doesn't initiate, what then? Many men today, even Christian men, don't seem able to come to a decision. It seems to me there's a serious crisis in masculinity, and part of it comes from the women protesting for equality. We have effectively emasculated men. This has thrown both sexes into confusion so that there are no longer any clear guidelines for dating, let alone for a real courtship, which ought to lead to marriage. What are we going to do about this? It's important to come to terms with the fact that God may want you to remain single. Singleness is a gift, according to 1 Corinthians 7:7. It's the context in which thousands of faithful men and women have served God throughout Christian history. Why should you not be one of those faithful ones? This is your chance to learn what it means to wait on God, not on any man. You must give to God your desire for marriage, to do with you as He chooses. Now that's what it means to take the yoke of Jesus upon you. When Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," he was bending his neck to the yoke of the Father. And remember, he was facing a horrible death. But he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." If God is asking you to remain single for the rest of your life, that's really none of your business today. He's only asking you to trust Him for today. You don't know whether the singleness will last for the rest of your life. But I get letters from women who really want me to tell them that God has a husband for them. I get so many letters from such earnest young women saying, "I'm just praying and trusting the Lord, and I know He has a husband for me. When do you think I'm going to find him?" Well, in the first place, I don't know that God has a husband for that woman. He doesn't have a husband for a lot of women. And how could I possibly know when they're going to find him? And they want me to tell them, is God going to promise me or give me a date? And I have to write back and say, I don't think so. I doubt it. He doesn't tell us very much about the future, does he? He says, trust me. So I said to this particular young woman, why should you not be one of those faithful men and women who have served God singly? You must give to Him your desire for marriage. This does not necessarily mean that He will take away the desire itself. Another area of pitfall. If you've read my book, Passion and Purity, you know that He did not do that for me. He did not take away my desire for Jim Elliot. Read Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 10 for a great lesson in why God permits us to go on being hungry, unfulfilled desire. It's the only way we can learn to eat heavenly food. If He allowed us to be satisfied with earthly love, we would not learn the depths of divine love. Often His refusals are His greatest mercies. Patience has never been a virtue easily learned. God never promised that the fruits of the Spirit would come without suffering. In fact, He specifically told us that patience comes only through tribulation. Romans 5:3, also translated, suffering trains us to endure. Unfulfilled human longing is one form of suffering, a form I know very well. The passage goes on to say, this in turn will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. I can tell from your letter that you are a woman deeply desirous to know God and to do His will. This is your opportunity, both to know and to do. Don't worry because the wishes are still strong. Make the wishes an offering, material for sacrifice. Lift them up to Him and ask Him to make use of them for the blessing of others. How will He do that? Trust Him. He knows how. You mentioned believing that God is going to raise up a man who meets your list of qualifications. Perhaps He is, perhaps He isn't. Let God do the choosing, even if He chooses singleness for you. You speak of, quote, a special place in my heart, unquote, for this young man. Beware. Turn that special place over to the Lord to fill. Stay away from the young man. Don't, under any circumstances, let him even guess at your feelings. That's a mistake. I need to explain here that this young woman had written describing this man and her feelings for him, and she had told me that this young man had not indicated any special feelings for her. That's why I say, stay away from him. Don't let him guess at your feelings. That is taking the place of the initiator, which you're not supposed to be. The husband is the one who is to woo and to win and to call the woman to himself. And I don't believe that a man has a right to know your feelings until he's asked you to marry him. Does that seem radical and ridiculous? Well, I would ask you, what right does he have to know how you feel about him? If he wants to know how you feel about him, there's a very simple way of finding out, and that is to say, I love you, will you marry me? He'll find out real fast. You can tell him all when he has expressed his own feelings and asked for a commitment. Your jealousy of others in whom this young man is showing an interest is a sign that you have let things get out of hand. Surrender those jealous feelings, which are sinful feelings, to Jesus and concentrate on him. Do the work he gives you each day. Bring your thoughts into captivity to Christ, as 2 Corinthians 10 tells us to do. The Lord will help you. I know he will if you ask him to, and go on trusting and obeying. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 would be good verses for you to read.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.